Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, I love being the guinea pig here for you with the intellectual property. Of course, Katie is the IP professional from Wiggin and Dana, and I am in the field. Yes, I have Instant IP, which is a fantastic tool for your first layer, fast layer of IP protection. But Katie, we saw something come up, which we might have told a few episodes ago, where I was researching for my marketing class that I teach at Cedarville University, and I was basically going to teach a whole topic that day on clarity attracts, confusion repels, something that's been super important to me pretty much for 20 years. And then when I went to go find my content, I saw that there was a lot of infringement going on as of late. So immediately I called you and you brought me to your fantastic trademark person, Frank, and we kind of came up with a strategy. So first of all, is this kind of a normal thing that companies should be thinking about? Like, hey, if we have something out there in the marketplace, we should be checking, monitoring, and then should we come up with a strategy? Is that a normal thing?
Yes, I'd say this happens all the time where you maybe have a trademark that you're using, right? Maybe you've registered it, maybe you haven't. And then someone starts to use the same mark on the same sort of goods and services that you're providing. So this is where you have what's considered trademark infringement. And this is where a lot of times businesses will send out a cease and desist letter, right? And say, hey, just so you know, I have rights to this. My first use is on this day. You know, please kind of stop doing this. It's sort of an initial friendly outreach to get them to take it down. And sometimes that works, other times it doesn't. So it's a good way to just kind of open up the channels of communication.
I love it. So I'm going to give people the exact plan that I used. And this is not legal advice, but this is kind of what I did based upon some chats with you, some chats with Frank, some own decisions I decided to make, you know, because you guys are fantastic over at Wiggin and Dana. And you basically said, look, you have choices. You can do nothing. You can do something. And, you know, we basically came up with a strategy. But what I did is for the person who's thinking, well, this is stupid, you know, because there are those people out there who really don't know what IP is, and they think IP is just out there. And even a gentleman today on Facebook commented, he used a Bible verse and he said, nothing new's under the sun. And he said, you know, why do you think you can take a common phrase used by many, many people and then claim it as your own, lock it down? You know, basically, I mean, I read it to you, but he's kind of, a shame-based comment that's like, who do you think you are, pretty much. And I don't mind that comment. But first of all, Katie, when I read that comment, what did you kind of think?
Yeah, I say this happens all the time, especially with social media, where there's always going to be kind of these naysayers. And I find it's usually best not to engage.
Sure.
Because that's what they want, right? So you have to just take it for what it is and realize, you know, there's a lot of people who think they know a lot of things. And when you kind of dig into it, you kind of start to realize how off base it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I told the story to my newsletter subscribers and even some posts, I basically said, look, I'm trying to encourage everybody out there that as you develop unique intellectual property, because we talk about this in our book, And every week I'm shocked. It's doing so well. So thank you, Katie. But it's today the number one in patent law. And so, you know, there's different categories in Amazon, but there's a lot of people reading it, which is cool. But we tell the story that a person was very generous and said, oh, I developed this technology, but I don't care if people use it and it's fine. And I know there's infringers. And that's kind of what I see a lot. I see a lot of this, like, not taking themselves seriously. And it's right. and it looks and sounds humble, but I'm going to tell people, like, with some pretty direct words, I think that is a cop out. Is that PC? Is that wrong to say? I don't even know. I don't even know what terms are. I'm going to say this. It's not wise. It's ignorant. It's unwise. It's lazy. Because here's what I mean by that. When you don't take yourself seriously, other people don't take you seriously. And if you have some idea that you don't protect, other people can come alongside and say, oh, that's mine. I'm going to protect it. And I'm going to lock this person out of their own idea. Do you think that happens in the world today? If people don't?
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's, you know, I'd say especially with the state of technology where we're at.
Yeah.
It's very easy for your competitors to be monitoring you. You might not even know it, right?
Yeah.
And they're looking at your IP filings. They're looking at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if they're being strategic, they're leveraging it to their, you know, own IP strategies. So I'd say that's sort of a naive statement. And it's something that we see all the time where you don't protect it. The competitor does protect it or rips it off. And then you have a real problem because you either have to take a license from them if they'll even grant you one, or totally re-pivot and, you know, start doing something different.
Yeah. So the first thing I encourage people to do is kind of dig into their own IP journey. And that's what I did first of all, because Katie, I'm not prideful enough to say, maybe I didn't come up with it, you know? So I went back and did kind of a deep dive, and you can see my screen, right?
Yeah.
So I started to look and say, you know what? Okay. I have been using this as my trademark for years. I'm not going crazy. And we went back and we started Googling and we started using ChatGPT and Gemini AI and saying, you know, who did come up with this and when did they come up with this? And as I began digging through my files, not only did I find Instant IP Smart Contract years later when we finally created that invention, but prior to that, it was like in my books. So I'm going to call this IP stacking. And that's kind of a strategy that is smart out there. So we not only had a smart contract, we had a copyright that was registered copyright. And then in our next episode, we're going to talk about why you do want to register your copyright. We won't get into that now. It's different than just writing something on a piece of paper and having an unregistered copyright. But then we also filed a federal trademark. So it's like back to that chart that is in our book, and I'll bring it up here. Obviously, we can't patent clarity attracts, confusion repels. And maybe tell people why we wouldn't patent that and why it really is put in a smart contract. It's in my books that are copywritten. And yes, we filed a trademark, but why would we not do a patent too?
Right. Good question. So usually in order to patent something, there needs to be some sort of utility or usefulness associated with it. So you can't, what sort of categories of what you could patent would be methods of manufacturing, compositions of matter, machinery. So sort of a lot of software, right? So if, let's say you made a software product around this, right?
Sure.
And you had some kind of methodology, right? And you called it confusion attracts.
Yeah, or clarity attracts confusion.
Clarity, sorry, yes. That would be something potentially patentable, but we wouldn't be patenting the phrase, right?
That's right.
We can't just patent words.
Yes.
There has to be some kind of usefulness and something that's new.
So in my world, like, we filed the trademark under coaching, consulting, business, because that's what it is. It's the whole marketing concept that I've been doing, you know, for years, Igniting Souls and Carrie O'Brunner. But you're saying that if we developed a process that said, hey, here's a process to take somebody's business and go from confusing marketing principles, and there's a clear process that's unique and non-obvious, and it goes through these 5 or 6 steps, and then out comes a business that's has clarity, that maybe could be considered, right? But not just the words.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think this is too why there's different forms of IP for different, you know, facets of what you're doing. So that's where, you know, diversifying your IP assets, sometimes it's going to be a trademark, right? Sometimes it's a copyright, sometimes it's a smart contract, but that's where there can be value in sorting out what inventorying your IP and figuring out what is the best way to protect my different assets here.
That's really cool. So I love this. And by the way, the fear is, this is scary, this is overwhelming, this is timely, this is expensive. But in reality, Katie, I just got to share some really cool wins. So besides doing what I did, which is called an IP journey, where I went back and said, okay, when did I first start using this? And that's why Instant IP is really helpful. But then also what I did is I actually wrote a press release after I filed my federal trademark. So I kind of locked it all in and was really clear to lock it all in first with every single step I could. I double checked, did I register that copyright that's in the book and all that? And when was that date? And then, you know, just for kicks, I just went into AI and did some very deep dives and said, like, who coined it? Who came up with it? When was it? And it started showing, like, all the timestamps of this. Pretty cool. But then what I did is I did a press release, and then I created a spreadsheet of all the infringers, and then wrote a very kind, upbeat, but firm cease and desist letter that requested them to do takedowns. And now I've had multiple responses. So I have in this, I've sent it to 14 people. So those are kind of like the big 14 people. And you might say, dang, why? That's a lot. It's because back in August, a lady with 2.4 million Instagram followers in the same business as me used it as part of her thing. And my point was, like, I want to get to her fast because she might not know she's infringing. And if she turns this into a trademark, coaching programs, if this becomes part of her big thing and I just sit on the sideline, I might be locked out of this thing that I've been printing on my business cards for years.
Right. Well, I think it's a good point because a lot of times the infringement might not be intentional.
I don't think it was for any of these people.
Right. And I think we've seen this too, Carrie, with earlier this year. I can't remember if it was this year or last year. This person used AI to write an article and posted it on LinkedIn. And it was a direct copy and paste of your TED Talk, right? Yep. And it was something that he said, oh my goodness, like, I'm so sorry. This was a complete accident. It was the AI that just took this and I had no idea. And I think it just highlights here, particularly in this digital age, there is so much to copy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why protecting your IP is so important because, you know, sure, some of it is innocent, but there's also the willful infringers, and that's where being able to then enforce your registered IP becomes crucial here.
Yeah. And I mean, I want the reputation out there of here's a guy who's super kind, super generous, super collaborative, and takes his IP super serious. Like, yeah. I don't think you need to have either. I don't think you need to be like just a walkover or just a jerk. Like, I think you can. And then let's talk about the quick proof. Remember this gentleman over the weekend that said, I'm not taking it down. And if you want to go further, you can talk to my lawyer. And he kind of came off with that approach. And remember, I emailed you and said, let's not even say anything.
Yeah.
And then 5 hours later, the dude comes back, super cool guy. In fact, he might even come. He said he would come on the podcast. Super cool guy came back and said, you know what? And this is his own words. And he said, I could share this. He's like, I think I'm just being prideful. And he even brought faith into it. He's like, you know, you're a follower of God. I'm a follower of God. I think I just have some pride in this area. And you know what? I'll take it down. But he's like, can we have a phone call? So I called him and I'm like, man, you are awesome. I said, I'm the most chill guy, but I said, I just want, you know, there to be like acknowledgement that this is not your IP, because I feel like if it's confusion out in the marketplace, it's not good for you or me.
Right.
And the guy was like, yeah, man, that's cool. And then I said, listen, here's our free IP course. Here's our free, audiobook, because he likes audiobook, and you know, I promoted him, and who knows, I may send him business, and now he wants to send people to Instant IP. So it turned into a beautiful thing. And I just want to tell that story in our last 2 minutes, because Katie, like, it doesn't have to end bad.
No. And I think it's important for people to understand, a lot of times there's a lot of hesitation to protect your IP. Because you think, oh, I can't afford to enforce it, right? And I want to put this out there that a lot of times enforcing in court, it's always sort of a last resort effort, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of ways to amicably resolve it. Sometimes that's not possible, and that's where, you know, having to do a jury trial comes in. But a lot of times we're trying to get it wrapped up amicably and, you know, involve court as little as possible so that we can settle things out ahead of time here.
Mm.
And a lot of times, like you, the entrepreneur, right? Sometimes it's best even for you to just do a reach out.
Yeah.
Not bring lawyers into it, right? So there's a lot of ways to strategize on this, and what's the best approach here?
That's so good. Yeah. I didn't want to amp it up. I mean, I don't want to like have five lawsuits going on. Like, that's never my goal.
Right.
And honestly, if somebody reached out to me and said, hey man, you know, you are an IP company. I came up with that name. Well, they didn't, because we got the trademark now, which is pretty cool. But, if they said that, I'd be like, oh my gosh, seriously. And if they had proof, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to, what do you want me to do? Take it down? Or do you want me to give you credit? Like, I think that makes, in the book, you have this great quote, good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, so like, I want to return the favor when people have IP. And I always try to quote people when I say, hey, this is Dan Sullivan, he came up with the impact filter. I think if you don't these days, we live in such a connected world that if you go out and you're intentionally trying to take shortcuts, I think it comes back pretty quick.
Oh yeah. It comes back so quickly. Yeah. And I think too, with the digital age that we're in, it's so easy to get things to innocently, you know, takes part of someone's work, right? Without knowing. So that's where too, when you attribute it to the person, then you can kind of really do that yourself when you go land on it. So I think that's why it's so important, like you say, to give people credit, right?
Oh yeah.
And navigate that in a way that people then know who really created what part of it or what idea there.
It's only helped me the last four. Yeah. You know, the last, I published my first book in 2004, the last 20 plus years when I've quoted someone in my book, it sometimes has turned into an endorsement from that person where they come and they're like, oh yeah, I'll endorse your book. So it's a good thing. So folks, as we land the plane today, a couple big takeaways. Number one, take your IP seriously. Number two, consider IP stacking. Number three, get that first instant IP. Your first credit is free, instantip.app. Number four, when you need a trademark, and it's really important, I say reach out to Wigan and Dana. It's a fantastic place. I've filed multiple ones with them. And then number five, just like have a great attitude. And it doesn't need to be an ugly thing. And take your IP seriously. All right, Katie, on our next episode, we're going to have a really fun chat about what happens when AI steals your work. And we have a very cool story on that.
Yep. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Kerry Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.